All right. Okay, look. We'll do it like this. The Mishnah based on Rambam, Mishnah Berurah says that if I had to choose a fast day, there are some things that you could say out loud. There are some things that we think, and there are some things that you should not say out loud, right? There's some things that we think, and some things that... And usually, you know... But I'm going to say something out loud here that everyone was thinking. Shah. Right? And that most people don't say out loud. You almost said it out loud, but not out of sight. I'm going to say it out loud. If I had to choose a fast day, my favorite fast day. Right? So, we definitely... We definitely shouldn't choose. We wouldn't choose Tisha B'Av. It's like not a geshmaki day. Yom Kippur, we also wouldn't choose. It's very long, and the tachlis of Yom Kippur is more the fasting is not. And saying Gedalia, that's like the worst of all. No, it's like right after Shana. It's like not. Tainus Esther sort of ruins the Purim. I'm saying things that you shouldn't be saying out loud. You know that socially awkward guy who says things that are... You know what I'm talking about? The guy that he shakes hands for just a little bit too long. Right? I'm his brother. I have my hand. So we're left with what? We're left with Shivasar for sure not. It's like in the highlight of the summer. It's like, you know, it's not again, not again. Right? But if I had to choose a fast day, Sarvataze is a geschmacker. Right. And Ellie's a geschmacker. Okay, again, things that we think that we should not say in public, right? This year is like a 3-day Yom Tov shtickle, right? It's Thursday. You know what I'm talking about? It's like when Wednesday hit, and it's like, oh, this is great. It's geschmacker. I mean, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Some of us we won't see on Sunday either. Okay, so I'm gonna tell you the emes. I'm gonna do something to you now so terrible. I'm gonna tell you something so wicked. It's mamish terrible. It's so terrible. I'm gonna tell you Asar B'Teves is under, and it's also so short. Like no, like 5 o'clock yesterday was my ref. Like right, yeah, we'll go to the car. So yeah, sure, because I need it after. Yeah. No second table. Yeah. Schmack. Start with Davis. Schmack. So I'm gonna do something terrible to you now. Terrible. Start with Davis. Chassam Sefer says, it's also like the Bnei Yisrael says it. Great Jews. They're a menave to the same nevuah. They say that a Start with Davis is the most chashiva of all of the fasts. And more so, you're probably wondering, like, you asked me to speak about maybe the... But you know what? I said, what, to speak about it after that? No. I'm going to speak about it with Dafka now, and you'll see why. You'll see why. Nagaya, it's over, right? Sarb Davis is over, right? We're in the middle of Yom Tov now. It's over. So I'm going to explain why. They explain like this. I say, Bekitzer, they ask the Shaila that the Sabri Shainim hold that if a Sarb Davis would fall out on Shabbos, you're allowed to fast. That's what Dafka drums. It's a famous rate. They talk about it. If a Sarb Davis, in our calendar, our Sarb Davis can't fall out on Shabbos. But if a Sarb Tavis would fall out on Shabbos, you'd be allowed to fast. That's a some hold. Okay? We have a somewhat of this on Friday, if you remember, about 4 years ago, I think 5 years ago. It fell out 5 years ago, I think it fell out on Friday. And we fast all the way into Shabbos. Usually, if a person would have a yard site or something, so then you're not mashlim. Before Shabbos, you eat and whatever. So there's something interesting about Sarb Tavis, which is obviously more extreme than Tisha B'Av. Because Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, the Shabur brings down Shulchan Aruch says, you eat the Shal Shudas with meat and wine. Okay, and wine, right? Because Shabbos fasting stira, right? Mashen kain, asar b'tevis. For whatever reason, you'd be allowed to fast if he's on rishayim on Shabbos. Doesn't stand a pig pella. There's another example of that. A tainis chaloyim. Now I'm talking about. You said one halacha, okay? One halacha. Tainis chaloyim. The Shulchan Aruch brings down. Let's say a person has a bad dream, okay? And simin reish peches. Person has a bad dream. So the halacha is you can fast even on Shabbos. It's called the Tainis Chalayim, and the next day you have to fast. For the fast, did you fast? That's okay. It's a good diet. But I'll come. Now, the Maisa, the one halakh I will say. So first of all, very interesting. Yard site, if you have a yard site on Shabbos, you don't fast. Everyone knows that. But Tainis Chalayim, you're yes allowed to fast on Shabbos. My eye, what's going on? Why a Sarbet Tevis is like Meshuddach with the Tainis Chalayim, right? And Tisha B'Av, is connected to the outside. No fasting on Shabbos. Basar b'tevis, for some reason, yes. Something about it, and something about Tainis Chalam. Now, b'maimar ha-mozgar, this is the one halacha. You know, our door, our dreams, the place can take on, don't have that same level of a dream. And if you get some terrible, dreadful message in a dream or something, it's because of either you heard a shiur that day about dreams, right? Or it's because, there's not a guy here. In other places I speak, it's because of a movie that you watched, right? Or in other places that I speak, it's because of somebody you killed that day. The way it works is that what you think about during the day is what you wind up, you know, dreaming about at night and whatever. The night, the muscle, like, I know what's going to happen. I know, like, Moshe Shabbos, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to walk in here and see that one bucker. He's all white, right? And Rakowski, I talked to you after this year, right? I'm just going to say, it's like 18 shekel tzedakah. No, I had a dream. I died six times and my neshama came out of my body, right? And everybody died, right? Okay. So 36 shekel. By me, the dreams now doesn't go. No. Somebody once came into the stipler. I'll answer your question, but somebody came into the stipler once. And I told him, he had this dream, and God, right? The stipler got up, he started to yell at him. The stipler was very strong. The stipler started yelling at him, you think you're like the chzainish, you know, you think you're like people that had dreams. The brisket rav used to have tiny chaloims daily, given. You know? Mamish daily. There's one story that one time on Shabbos, he was having a tiny chaloim. And he asked Rebbe, he did a Hatavitz Cholam. Hatavitz Cholam is you sit down and, you know, somebody, you go to Talmud Chacham and he tells you, you have a good dream, it's Mahapichit for Taif. That's not exactly what you're supposed to do. If you have a bad dream, you go over to a Talmud Chacham and hopefully he knows these halachas. And he'll tell him, you know, in a dream, my hair fell off. All my hair fell out, right? So the Talmud Chacham, he's supposed to say, murder, you got a Yeshiva haircut. Becoming more religious. Right? So that doesn't have to go, right? So, the Brisket Rav, one time he had made a Tavitz Cholam with his sons, with Reb Beryl, Reb Meir, and Reb David. And he was very nervous, the Brisket Rav. He had Mamish of Tavitz Cholam by him. He held you out to do a Tavitz Cholam on Shabbos because it was a standard Nusach of Tefillah for him. You know, it was like all the time. So the kids are, one time, there was a Hafkanah. It's not a new thing, these Hafkanahs and horses and Dachshunds. It's not new, Rabbi said. These horses are the Zaydas of the Ainikloch. I'm sorry, the Zaydas horses are giving hot. So there was a Hafkanah going on over there, and they're compressed over there by Brisk. And the Briskets don't go to the Hafkanah, so, you know, they're scared, right? So they were sitting in the base Medrash, and in walks, in runs, all the people from the Hafkanah, right? They all run inside, and they're all, like, you know, hiding or whatever. All of a sudden come in the Zaydas of these guys, right? The Zaydas come in, and they see over there, Reb Beryl, Reb David, these are the guys, right? And they arrested them, and they took them to jail. They took them to jail, and then they got out. So when they came home, and the Brisket Rav yelled at them. He said to them, you see, I did the Tavis Chalon, you weren't taking it seriously. And that's why this happened. Right? You know, so there is a mystic of bad dreams. There's a mystic, but by us, most of our dreams, in order for somebody to get me, to get them to fast, or to, you know, to misyachet to the dream, it's got to be like, I'm going to ask him a whole list of questions. Did you think about this person dying during the day? No, they don't, right? Did you think about death during the day? No. Did you hear that someone young died during the day? No. Did you, you know, he's going to have to get no on every one of these, right? Did you hear something terrible during the day? No. Did you, did you have schnitzel right before you went to bed? Yeah. Okay. The mafarshim are mashma that when you have food in your stomach, right, before you go to bed, I'm not, this person's not joking. You don't believe me. Schnitzel's not their example, that's mine. But if you have schnitzel right before you go to bed, and most of us do have something to eat right before we go to bed, so then your stomach is filled with whatever, and you're now more of a gas type of person, and in the middle your neshama is not as in touch, and whatever message is trying to go to your brain while you're sleeping is getting filtered out by all the acids coming up from this schnitzel made of plastic. Okay. That's the one halacha, you're going to say halacha today. Okay. But the tiniest chaloyim, you're allowed to fast. Oh, I'm sorry, what do you want to ask?
If someone nowadays is clear minded, like a tzaddik nowadays, then they would.
Like Rabbi Kalsi, yeah, go on, sorry.
So yeah. They would possibly have tiniest chaloyim or
tiniest chaloyim. Yeah, so thinking like us would probably have the possibility of a tiniest chaloyim. But, you know, for example, I never have issues with tiniest chaloyim. Why? Because I could always attribute it to, like, I spoke about Tanya's Malone that day. It's always, I have to ask myself the questions, right? You know, so whatever, you have to, you know. I think it might us have our, whatever. Wait, please don't talk about me in public. I'm I'm a minister. So what's the pshat? Why take a tainus chaloyim on Shabbos? You're that in the olden days we'll call it in Radin. By me, olden days is Radin. Why tainus chaloyim? You're that fast on Shabbos, right? At the end, I have a great for it. Great for it. No Shabbos. At tainus chaloyim, you're allowed to fast on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos a yard site. Asar b'tavis, you're allowed to fast on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos. Some shots like this. Something because I'm saying for gavaldik azach. Shabbos has to be happy day, has to be oyimig day, has to be gishmaki day, and therefore it's a sira to have fasting for a sad occasion on Shabbos. You all understand that. I didn't say any chiddush now. It's a yard site you can't have on Shabbos. Tisha b'av you can't have on Shabbos. Tainus chaloyim is fundamentally different. Tainus Chaloyim is a day that I'm scared something bad is going to happen to me. So the purpose of the Chaloyim is to do a preventative measure to make sure it doesn't happen. So when you let me fast on Shabbos, it's embarrassing me. Because I'm pushed scared, I saw this terrible vision, whatever. And now I fast, and the fast is a means of, like, I feel good now. If you don't let me fast, I'm going to be suffering. I feel like I'm doing something to prevent the impending doom. That's Tainus Chaloyim. Asar b'tevis moyerdik. Zaktech some sefer. Thousands of years ago, we think like this. We think that there's no base of mikdash, and this year it's being decided that will it be rebuilt? Wrong. That's not pshat. In Shemayim right now, there is base of mikdash. There's base of mikdash. That's what I mean. The Gemara says any year that didn't have the base of mikdash built, any door, so that in their world it was destroyed. Not it wasn't rebuilt. That means there's a base of mikdash in Shemayim right now, and it was decided. Listen closely. 2,000 years ago on Asar B'Tavis, it was decided that Beis HaMikdash, there was a Machlekes, the Mekatrigim, and the Sanagerim, and the Mekatrigim won. And it was decided that year that the arrow was shot on Asar B'Tavis at the Kaisel, right? At the Beis HaMikdash. It was shot at the Beis HaMikdash. Now, you realize that to put up a shield in front of the arrow is doable, but it's much more difficult than to prevent it from being shot. So it says, a Tisha B'Av is the day it's shot. That's sad day. You can't have sad day on Shabbos. But Asar B'Tavis is the day it's going to be decided will that arrow be shot. That means that yesterday it was decided. This year, if the base of Mikdash not, will it be not rebuilt? It was decided if it'll be destroyed, and that was the goal of yesterday. And we're too late, right? What does it mean we're too late? It means now, if Chalila was decided that it will be destroyed this year, so now we have to work harder. It means we have to put up a shield, which is much more difficult than that. Mamela, first of all, now you understand. That's why Asar B'Tavis, you're allowed to fast on Shabbos. Zaktach Sam Seifer, Mordek. Zaktach Sam Seifer, because I'm not fasting for a tragedy that occurred. I'm fasting to prevent an impending doom. Mordek. Sam Seifer. Okay, that's how it comes. I should have told you this 2 days ago, but it's a tais. You know why? I know my schlera. Yeah. You know, a lot of us, it's going to come the fast day. Lying in bed, I'll my first Seder, and whatever. Okay, that's it. You have to know. So now we have to go, in the Zayar, it's first like this many times. After the Yontif, the Marshal Shabbos, Malava Malka, right? In the Zayar, it's first a lot of times at the end, afterward, has more koiches than, I can't say I understand this, I'll be nigla, right? But I'll be nista, there's a concept that afterward has more of a tayalis than even before sometimes. Why, what, where? That's, you know, when you become a Kabbalah, you'll understand. But there's something about Malava Malka. Isru Chag. You know something called Isru Chag. You think it's like another day she gave off, right? It's like, there's something. It's real, right? It shows where the, you know what it is? Should I explain to you in English? It's like, at Chasana, right? The last people that stay at the Chasana, right? They're the ones that are the most connected, right? So, you know, most people are just trying to figure out, all right, I was here for the first dance. They're not Bokhar. Most people are not Bokhar, right? But they're here for the first dance. I'm like, all right. You know, but the people that stay All the way till the end. Now again, like Michael and Shalom, right? It's not a ride from Bachar. They're staying all the way to the end because they're drunk, right? That's the real reason. Right? But I'm talking about the inner circle. It's over. The chasen is over. Who's there still? The mechutanim are there still. The in-laws are there still. Right? And those are the people that are still there. They're still there. So do you see that? That shows where the lathe is. So if afterwards, after the Yud Aleph B'Tavis could to a certain extent be more important than the Etzim That's my daughter. So with that, I'll give you the liberty, right? I just want to say, so now, you know, so yeah, what I would suggest, I never give this type of mussar here, chizik here, just, right? But I'm going to tell you three Vaan Leib stories, right? Connected three different chalakim that are the reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Right? Yeah, there's new finger things. I know what you're thinking. Right? You didn't even know I could do that, did you? Right? Yeah, this is, I'm also double jointed. I get all tight today. I can fit this leg over here. Right? I know. After this year. Right? I can walk on both of them with my hands like that. But there are three, you know, it's referred in Chazal, there are three different reasons why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Right? Three different reasons. And each one of them is MS. Maybe if one of them wouldn't have been the Beis HaMikdash, I don't know. You know, we know there's been another Chaveira that everybody knows. That's the Gemara, the famous Gemara in Gittin, and Kamsa by Kamsa, but the Gemara Gittin over there. Then there's the Gemara in the Darim, at the end of the Darim. The Gemara says that they went around, they didn't know why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, why Alma of the Haaretz. They went to the Nevi'im, they went to everybody, they didn't know. And the Gemara goes on to say, because Lebircha B'Tayr Tchila, and the Ran explains what they didn't say Bircha B'Tayr, or they Meshigga, they were learning Tayr, but they didn't say. So the Ran explains it means they didn't value Tayr. They didn't value, didn't appreciate Torah. So that's the second reason we find for destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And the third reason, everybody knows, is the Gemara in Yuma Dafes, whether it's for the first Beis HaMikdash, it's irrelevant because the second Beis HaMikdash is just a continuation. Right? We ask for a Geula Shalema. There are three things. We say Refuah Shalema, Tshuva Shalema, Geula Shalema. Right? Why do we say Refuah Shalema? Because I broke my leg. And now when I go up for a shot and I come down, so I want that when I come down, that not like, you know, the leg is already healed, right? But no, I always feel it, you know? When you come down, you always still feel it a little bit, right? So we ask for a refuah shlema, right? We go for a refuah shlema, not, you know, tshuva shlema. That when I do tshuva, it should be in a matzav of where I do tshuva, and not that when I'm in that situation again, you know, I fall back. Tshuva shlema, gula shlema, same thing. We ask for a gula shlema that the Beis HaMikdash should come, and not like the second Beis HaMikdash, which was just like, you know, it wasn't, we wanted the real thing, right? So, Samela, the first Beis HaMikdash, the Chazal teach us why was it destroyed. Everyone knows the Gemara Yuma Daf Tes. The Gemara says, because Gilei Arayis, Sheikh Zdamim Avodah Zarah. I would hope that Sheikh Zdamim and Avodah Zarah is, not so widespread in the yeshiva. I'm seeing maybe, yeah. Right? But Gilei Arayis, yes, that definitely could be. So I'll say a story. Varon Leib is, you know, he's, it's always good to say his name, Tarth the Shleishim, right? A good stories. I'll tell you different stuff. Last week I told you more Klaliistika stories. Stories that I had no Shaykhus to, right? Which were just, you know, first of all, no Shaykhus in the Metzias of them, and no Shaykhus in Pashut. I was just a spectator watching the story, right? And in time past, I even told you other personal stories. Whoever was here that time remembers. Good times. Okay. But now I'm going to tell you different stories, which will have that undertone. So listen, I'll tell you first, we'll go, I'll tell you Tzniyas first. Right? I'll tell you one story. Yeah, I'm not going to be marked on anything. There's one story in what, you know. Rav Aaron Leib, when he was in Schweiz, he's in Switzerland. I told Dorzlum that he went from, he got a letter from a Baruch Bear to get him out of Poland to get to a higher learning institution in Switzerland, higher learning institution than Poland means that, like, you're learning how to be a garbage man, right? I'm saying, but you know, he got a letter that enabled him to leave Poland, okay? But when he got there, so they were very nervous about refugees, and I think I said this last time, they put him into a concentration camp of sorts. I think I mentioned, but it was not like an Auschwitz type of concentration, it was a work camp. So I had a neighbor who was there in the work camp. I'll never forget, he told me, so one of the stories I think I said last time, that 2 o'clock in the morning, I think I said that he was learning there when it was freezing cold. He said that the heat, in the other extreme, the heat, when they were working on the road, was so extreme. So there were a lot of them, they were Bakrim. Right? Good guys, good Bakrim. He said, the heat was so extreme that if you would wear a shirt while you were working, right, you would push it faint because of the heat, right? So what everybody did was they took their shirts and they put them as like, some type of a bandana, I don't know, whatever, right? What are those things called?
Durag.
Anyway, I got the word right?
Yeah.
What are they called?
Durag.
A dude rag? A dude rag. I got like a dude rag, you know, like and this time everything's dude. The water filter's called dude. The water dude. A dude rag, right? So they made like these dude rag, and that took all the schwitz, because otherwise it was like Neura. And they used it to block you from the sun and whatever. He said there were two people that no matter he and Mashiach kept the shirt on. Right, Varon Leib wasn't known for his over strength and power. And, there was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, I think I mentioned his name last time, And he was a crazy guy in the shrine. And there was Varun Leah. And Yemashiyah kept his shirt on. Right now, you know, I'm not going into the dormitory there, Alibi, we should be talking about just the shirt. You know, sometimes the guy comes out of the shower and like, you know. No, you left the shower. Let's do like this. I'll tell you a story. Do what you want with the story. I'm not saying that when it's 5 billion degrees to keep your shirt on, okay? Right? I'm just saying, you know, musagim, that's all I'm saying. What to do with that musig? Like I said last time, whatever you hear about Ryan Leib, so don't translate into what he did. Translate into, like, you know, like, one level up, right? I won't walk outside naked. Do what you have to do with the story. But that's no, because you have to be musagim to the base of Mikdash, right? That's number one. Number two is, you're all shayach to the story I'm going to tell you. So just listen. You're not shayach to the prat of the story, but you're all shayach to Avos HaTorah, right? Everyone in this room loves Torah. Because if you didn't love Torah, you would not be here. There's a lot of your predecessors and friends and whatever that are not in higher learning institutions at this point. And, you know, that means you all love Torah. The question is just how much. I want to tell you a story. I once was Bar Aharon Leib. I did not know the explanation to this story until 1 week ago. Okay? I was by Varun Leib about 10 years ago, and I asked him a question. I asked him a bunch of questions. And one of the questions, he said to me, bring me a Gemara. So I brought him a Gemara, right? There were different shasas there, and I took from one of the shasas, right? There was a small shasa. There was a shasa, so I took from one. So when he took the Gemara from me, he said, Kiddush Shas. Do you know what a Kiddush Shas is? Dude, Rag. Right? You know what a Kiddush Shas is? I didn't know what a Kiddush Shas is. I didn't think anything. I wrote on my paper, Kiddush Shas. I had a little paper with me, right? Kiddush Shas. Okay? Fine. He answered whatever he answered. I went on to ask the other questions. I walked out. There's somebody there who was right around the house. It was probably a helper, God, I don't know. I asked him, what's a Kiddush Shas? I thought it was like some like Hebrew saying that I didn't know. You heard what happened to me last time, Bar Aharon Leib, when I didn't know Hebrew. Whatever. So Kiddush Shas. Okay. You have something that like you totally forget, and then you read something and it came back. Right? It happens like a deja vu of sorts. I'm reading last week a book about Rav Aharon Leib. I need stories to tell over. In the end, I got no stories, but I got one story. It's Merdei Gezach. I never knew this, but it writes up there Rav Aharon Leib when he came to Eretz Yisrael. I told him he was in a place called Krasab, it's a yeshiva. When he was there, he had no money, as you heard. He didn't have enough money. He didn't have a shas. And he finally managed to get enough money together to buy a shas, right? A whole shas with meister money. He held a sheet, he used meister money for shas, whatever. So he went and he bought a shas with meister money. And it was, that's what he writes over there, it was the biggest simcha he ever had in his life. That's what he writes there. Right? And he made a kiddush. Yeah, I got, what did he give it, the kiddush? Guava? I don't know. Right? But he made a kiddush. And like, when I read this story, I went, kiddush shas. Right? But the story goes on and says more. The story goes on that he had a certain amount of money and he thought that's how much the shas would cost. And that's how much the what's it called? There was at that point that come out the kuntres kinyanim of Rav Shimon Shkar. So it came out, this kuntres of kinyanim of Rav Shimon Shkar. So he had enough money, he thought, to buy that and that. And when he got there, he didn't. Right? He only had enough money to buy the shas. So what did he do? So he asked the balabas, can he borrow the sefer? A different world, you know, Svarim store, can't buy the safer. Got bought the safer. So Svarim store said, yeah, but you have to have it back tomorrow, right? So he took the safer and he wrote it over every single word that night. Right? And this is before, what? You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. This is before, like, Musagi copyrights and whatever. Right? This is before the laws. It's like Flintstones. Aharon Leib was very, 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 very old. He wrote over the whole entire sefer that night. Right? Now, I want to tell you why I'm explaining to you that story. Because there was a mice with the Or Sameach. Right? The Or Sameach didn't have yeshiva. Like we think, like, the Or Sameach had yeshiva, like, you know, he didn't have yeshiva. What they would do is they would send the two biggest diluyim from this yeshiva and that, like whoever's the biggest diluyim in Rav Volozhin or something would go and learn for 3 months at a time with Rav Meir Simcha. And that's what it was. So there was one such person who wrote memoirs about what it was to learn with Rav Meir Simcha. So he writes like this. He writes that one time they got to a tisis, they couldn't get pshat. They couldn't get pshat for like 3 days, they couldn't get pshat in the tisis. He says, After 3 days, they're mamish going to get pshat. There's hours and hours and hours, and they have shilas and this. So Rav Meir Simcha said today they're not going to learn. Rav Meir Simcha said. He said today we're going to daven for Avos HaTorah. Lishma Shabachim, it came from Balashin, right? They're going to daven for Avos HaTorah. Okay, so they spent the whole entire second Seder, right? Davening for Avos HaTorah. And then afterward, that night, Rav Meir Simcha went on and told them, Mamish, a Gansa Drasha, 4 or 5 hour pilpul to explain Taisus and all the Kajas, now it is Yushin. So the Rav Meir Simcha told them like this. He told them that you have a baby, right? So the father comes in. The father loves the baby, you know. But who loves the baby more? The mommy bear. Right, the mommy bear, you know, because she's the one that gives the whole time and whatever, especially a newborn baby. The father, he has a baby, right? I love my baby. Right? You love having a baby, you know. But the mommy bear, she's the one that gives and gives and gives and gives. Eventually, the father bear gives to him. She says that the tati bear, he comes in, left with the baby bear. This is not something that I know personally, the story, but the tati bear, he comes in, their baby bear's crying, right? Let's say yesterday, whatever, right? The baby bear's crying away. Not me, some other guy. The baby bear's crying. Ah! Right? Sorry. Ah! Right? Baby bear's crying even more now, right? Like, ah! Screaming. Like, it comes to a point where he doesn't even know what to do. And, you know, I think the baby's holding by the leg. In walks the mommy bear, and says, ah! Right? Says, mommy bear comes up, no! Take. Boom! Smiley bear, right? Or is that, what's the chilek? Chilek is like this, right? Chilek is like this. You guys gotta learn from me everything, huh? Chilek is like this. The chilek is that the mommy bear mamch loves the baby. She mamish loves the baby. I love the kid all the way, you know. But she mamish loves the baby. So when you love something so much, you know what it's trying to tell you. Shteis? So we will daven for Avos HaTorah, and then when we daven, we'll understand what it's trying to tell us. Rameir Simcha. That's the first story you heard from Aaron Leib. Okay? Why was he zeichet to everything? Because he loved Torah so much. So if you daven, that's what we'll do. That's it. I'm not saying major asagas here. So daven for Avos HaTorah, you'll understand what it's coming to tell you. That's number two. Number three. Last thing. Beran del Chavera. I want to tell you, there was one story that I'm not going to say. It's not a story about Aaron Leib I'm not going to say. No way. All right? I'll say it, but it has no shite. You should know. In the Kaidel, I didn't say the story. Right? I did not say the story, right? And I'll say it over here, but it's no shaykhus. And then I'll tell you a different story of Aaron Leib. Okay? No, because the first story is no shaykhus. It's no shaykhus, and it's no shaykhus. But it's no shaykhus. It's just a level of okay. Let me tell you the first story first. No, I know what I'm doing. Relax, you know? Relax, I know what I'm doing. Yeah. Right? I once was by Aaron Leib. Not because I told you, I want to tell you personal stories, right? I once was by Aaron Leib. And I was asking him, I give the shiur by the mirbachim over here about shidduchim for like 2 or 3 weeks in a row, whatever, right? That's when you see like a lot of guys calling, right? That's what it is, right? They want to hear about the girls, so that's, you know, all of a sudden they show up, right? The more yeshivish, the more they come. That's how it goes. So, the kids are, I went 1 year, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I went there, Brian Leib, and I asked them, each year I had different people I asked from, right? So that year I asked for Brian Leib. I asked him different shidduchim and shidduchim. At the end, the last thing I asked him was should I say something about marriage too. It's done. Maybe not good to hear now. Maybe it's not good to hear now. Should I say something? Say something you can. I like it. So I said, okay, but now give me, I wanted to say one little thing. I'm obviously not going to give old shiur about marriage and shalom bias and whatever. It's not to get. But what would it be important for them to hear now is Bachrim that would have a shpa that, you know, 5 years from now, when he's in the middle of a fight, he'll remember this. So something like that, you know, that's the, so finally I said, like, this is a, I'm seeing him now. I'm seeing him. So I had a little paper with me, and I had my pen. I had it, right? So he said to me, "Ata kotev?" Okay, okay, okay. The chtov it said daf chadash, new paper. Okay, turn it over. Okay, okay. The chtov, right? Shemati, meharav Aaron Leib Shteimen. Shteimen shlita. No, I'm not shlita. Okay. Shalosh advarim. Three things. Shalosh advarim. Echad. Okay? Mivater. Mivater. Okay. Get out that. Okay. Shtayim. Okay? Mevater. I'm so smart. I know the third one already. I'm so smart. Right? I know the third one already, right? Shlosha, I'm going like this. Mevater. He didn't do it like that. He went, Mevater! Right? Mevater! Each one of the Mevaters I spelled different. Right? The first one was Mevater. Mevater, right? The second was Mevater. The third one was Mevater! Right? Each one's Devarim Lady. Murdik. Right? Murdik. Pasha Murdik. Mevater. Murdik. Right? That's a good insight. And then all this, when you're young, and you're not married, and you know it's easier to be mevater. It's good. You know what? Someone called me last night with a shiloh. I told him this story. He had an issue in Yerusha, whatever. The whole story about a ganze meisa with that. He was really talking not right. He was really talking out. I took exact words verbatim what I told him. It was really not right. He deserved this thing. It was like a sentimental value type of thing. It wasn't partial money. I told him, I said, yes, look, you know. This guy, I said, let me tell you something. Me, you know I'm a Rav. What am I supposed to answer you? What's any Rav, what is any responsible Rav going to do over here? What's he going to answer you? It's obviously, there's no choice. He's going to have to tell you to move after. But I just want to explain to you one thing. I told him, listen, there's, Rav Aaron Leib, I told him the story. I said, Rav Aaron Leib said Mevater, he said it three times. Right? I said, people make a mistake. They think Mevater is like, you know, when I'm wrong, I should be Mevater. No, when you're wrong, right, that's not Mevater. That's don't be Russia. Right? So the first mevater is when you're talking right. It's when you're talking right, you know, that this is supposed to be mine. So it's still be mevater. Obviously, what's the word mevater? If you're wrong, it's not mevater. It's, you know, don't be a rusher. So mevater, that's mevater number one. I thought the mevater number two is probably that but nachals, right? In this case over here, it's a vitor which. It's not just the vitor of like, you know, one thing that's right and one thing that's wrong. It's that, you know, over here I lose out tremendously, right? Because this is the one, let's say, heirloom or something you could have from his father, which means I'm not, it's my children also. It's other people that are affected by this. It's other people. I thought that's mevater number two, right? You know, mevater number three is when you can hang up the phone and say, yeah, but it's still share. Yeah, that's mevater number three. But when you're young, it's kidari. It's kidari. Okay? So now I'm going to tell you a story I wasn't going to tell you. I don't know why I'm telling this story, but it's musagim that are so beyond, but who cares, you know? Just tack yourself on to the fact. I told you, I read this one in a book. It was like a dialogue. I love these like Israeli books, like, you know, so they asked Rav Aaron Leib this, and he said this. I love these books. So they asked him, somebody came to Rav Aaron Leib. This is, I'm quoting now. I'll show you the book. If you guys tell me, remind me, I'll bring it in. They asked Rav Aaron Leib, somebody came to Rav Aaron Leib. Ishti makeoti, my wife hits me, right? You know, let's say they came to Shaggy Callis, right? What did I say? No, I don't know. Right? Should I divorce her? My wife hits me, right? My wife hits me. I guess she's stronger than him, whatever. Right? So, Rav Aaron Leib said, no, no. Okay, Omar Rav Aaron Leib, no, no. I'm not joking. No, no. Next line. The gun came, himzal zeloti berabim. Right? It seems like he woke up late. So she embarrassed him in public. She's embarrassed him in public and said, you late, you this, you that, right? And so Zell did in public and this and that, right? Omar of Aaron Leib. No, no. You're going. The next line was priceless. Priceless. The next line was, Hisha. I tried to do it a straight face. Hisha Pacha Lai. She spilled out the window on my head the Nagel Wasser water. You can't even possibly make these stories up, right? So at this point, what's he supposed to say? Like, you know, send her to Tel Aviv and get a get, right? Like, you know, enough already, right? So Varnleib said like this, Atam choshvim shachayim im kol kach kalim. You think life is so simple? You think life is so simple, right? What's a bissel Wasser in ponen? What's a little water in the face, right? You listen to me, you won't get divorced. The good story goes on to say over there, he did get divorced, right? And it goes on to say that he had a child that went off the tariff and gave him terrible his death edge. And he says, you know, if I would have stayed together, who knows what happened. This story, I don't want you to learn from. I don't want you to learn from. Why? Because we all know if a couple stays together, the kid could be 50 times worse. And we also know that, like, you know, a lady that's throwing water out the window on your face is pretty fair. Melech, man. Right? It's Melech, right? And she's saving me, and she's not. So I can't say I understand the story even in the Tzak Halacha Shabbat, but that's. But that line, I love that line. That line is Moyerdik. That line is, what's a little word in the face? Right? When you look at it like that, it's talking like, no big deal. Like if it came from Hashem, and all of a sudden you're walking and it starts raining and a little water in your face, it doesn't bother you. What's the story? So what we learned today, everybody say, Mivate. Ravaran Leib wore a shirt when it was very hot. Dude rag. Dude rag. You have to have like 3 words to catch on to at the end of the year. Mivater, dude rag, right? Dude rag. And Abbasatari all shine. So that'll be the Maitse, the Maitse Yante. Huh? Oh, I have one great verse. I just tell you one Chumash verse. That's good. You know, you go away, you have one good verse. It's such a verse. No, it's not such a quick verse, but it's the verse. This is the one. This is the one. Yeah. This is my contract's not the Chayyim to do this, but this is Mamish. No, this is the one. Now this is the one. Now if you want to know which one is the one, this is it. It's a great rugged chopper. This is rugged chopper. In Pasuk Yudal, at the end, in the 50th parak here, it says like this. 1 second. That's the 40th. Here. But Yashiv Yaisim Mitzrayim Ahu Ve'echa V'kol. This is it. This is the bar. This is the bar. But Yashiv Yaisim Mitzrayim Ahu Ve'echa V'kol Olam Itay. They came back. Likbor Es Aviv. They came back from burying their father. Achrei Kavrei Es Aviv. After they buried their father. Redundant. Right? They buried their father. They came back after burying their father. After they buried their father. That's what the pasuk says. I don't even know what the article has a chance on this one. No. Right? They buried thine father after they buried thine father. Right? There's no chance on this one. Rugged chover. This is what it's like to know Kultar Kulin. You read this pasuk, now it's like Pashit. The rugged chover says when you have 3 people walking in the street, you have the chashiv one walks in the middle, you have the less chashiv one on the right side, and the least chashiv one on the left side. Middle, the Rosh Hashiva, the more chashiv a Talmud on the right, the less chashiv a Talmud on the left. Okay? If you have 2 people walking in the street, you have Rosh Hashiva, and you have Stam HaBacher walking in the street, right? Well, Stam HaBacher, right? You have Stam HaBacher walking next to the Rosh Hashiva, so yeah, the Rosh Hashiva goes on the right side now, and the Bacher on the left, okay? Rosh Hashiva on the right, Bacher on the left. If it's, there are other matters, Rosh Hashiva in the middle, chashiv most Bacher on the right, least chashiv Bacher on the left. Okay. Murdik. If you saw Dr. Rogachover, so when they buried Avram and Yitzchak, Murdik, right? When they buried Avram and Yitzchak, so Avram is buried on the right, and then they buried Yitzchak on the left, because there's only 2, right? So Avram is buried on the right, Yitzchak on the left, and everything's fine. All of a sudden comes Yankov into the party, right? Now you have Avram on the right, Yitzchak on the left, problem. Because Avram has to be in the middle, and Yitzchak can't remain on the left, so we can't bury Avram, we can't bury Yaakov on the right. So what we have to do is we have to exhume Yitzchak and put him now on the right side, and we have to take Yaakov and put him in the kever that Yitzchak was in. Okay, so first of all, pshat and pasuk. Listen closely. Vayashav Yosef Mitzrayim Ahu Ve'echav V'Kayla Oylin Itay. They all came back. Likbor Es Aviv. Everyone came back from burying Yaakov Avinu. Achrei Kavroi Es Aviv. After they buried his father. After they buried Yaakov's father, Yitzchak. Great word? Great word. But I wouldn't have kept you over time for that word. And the Rugged Chubb is murdered. Right? But now I'm going to tell you what the Mashragi was Moisef. I'm going to tell you. Okay? Watch this. Pasuk Hey. You ready for this? Dun dun dun. Avi Hishbiani. This is it now. Avi Hishbiani Leymor. No, you've never seen me like this. Ever. Right? No, admit it. Okay? Avi Hishbiani Leymor. Hine Anoichi. Yaakov Avinu. Yosef says to Paro, Yaakov Avinu made me swear. Pasuk Hey, that one was Pasuk Yedal, this one's Pasuk Hey. Yosef says to Paro, my father made me swear. Hine Anoichi meis bekivri. Yaakov says, I'm going to die bekivri asher karisi li beretz Kanan, that I dug in Eretz Kanan. Rashi says, it doesn't mean I dug. Karisi means I bought. Macharti, I bought. But the Pasuk words are, Yosef says, my father made me swear that I will bury him in the kever that he dug. He dug the kever. Rashi says it doesn't mean he dug the kever. It means he bought the kever. The feed is, it's Moyeridik. Yaakov Avinu dug his own kever. Yaakov Avinu dug his own kever. He dug the kever that Yitzchak was in. They took him out of that when they put him in the kever that I dug. Read the pasuk. Avi Shbeni Demai. No, he makes me kivri. Asher Karisi Li Be'eretz Knan Moyeridik. Better to dug his own kever. Moyeridik. Moyeridik of El Mashad.
You're allowed to move a mace around.
Wow. Wow. Oh, that's a child.
Are you supposed to bury it on the ground?